Here's a little Chaucer. This is not actually Chaucer. I got a picture of Chaucer still up there, but since these slides were first made, it's been determined this probably isn't by Chaucer. This is demo was too nice not to use it. So this is part of a kind of an appendix to the treatise on the astrolabe. And I just want to go through this quickly just to repeat what we did at the beginning about how you decrypt a cipher. Or at least how people decrypted ciphers until today. Because these methods don't work anymore. But some of the story of how people used to do it are still extremely relevant. Some of the principles involved here. So this thing turns out to be English. Middle English, actually, because it's from the 14th century. These letters are just made-up letters. And it's written in a substitution cipher. That is to say, it's not a Caesar cipher. It's not just a cyclical shift. But there's some permutation of the 26 letters of the alphabet mapped onto these various symbols that's a one-for-one substitution. And having failed to just guess, there's not a lot of information there. How do you go about cracking it? Well, you go about cracking it by using the fact, first of all, you have to assume that it's in English. And then if you assume that it's in English, you use the fact that the letter frequencies in English are highly variable. So the most common letter in the English alphabet is E. The second is T, the third is A, fourth is I, then O, and then N, I think, is the next one, and then S, and so on. Right? So if you have a big enough, obviously you have a small text, it's unlikely that you're going to get letter frequencies that are exactly like this. But if you have a big block of text, they certainly, very unlikely that there are going to be more J's than there are E's. Right? There'll be some correspondence here. So here's our text, and it's pretty easy to crack this just using frequency counting. So if you count up how many occurrences of each of these funny symbols there are, it turns out that the most common symbol is the sort of O-shaped thing. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of them. And there are fewer than that of everything else. So according to the frequency chart, what should that be?
E.
Those should be E's. So let's assume they're E's. Okay, and then you look at the next most common letter, which is the sort of UE things, it turns out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, that's the next most common thing, and which that ought to be
T.
Okay, so now you use a different strategy on that assumption. You've got this funny thing here. There's a three-letter word here where this funny thing is the middle letter, and there's the same three-letter pattern here where that thing's in the middle. So that's probably H. Okay, and then there's another one up there, which you wouldn't have been able to guess was an H, but we'll turn that one into an H, and another one up there. Okay, so what else have you got? There's a four-letter, we're going to look at these now. Right, so here's a two-letter word with this sort of little B-shaped thing as the second letter. How many English words are there that begin with two, there are two letters and only begin with T, so that would be
O.
That would be O. Okay. And then there are a bunch of others. There are a bunch of other occurrences of that, so you can fill those in. Now you can look at those up there in the top. There's a four-letter word of which the last two letters are 2 and 1, I guess, what if you want to refer to them that way. So what could that be? It's not uniquely determined. Could be this.
Or could be that.
Could be that. Could it be that?
No, yeah. It could be that.
Can't be that because at least not if, you know, there's only a strictly one-to-one correspondence because we already know what
so
T looks like.
T. Yeah.
So that's probably this. And that gives you a bunch of other, you know, occurrences of those two letters to fill in. And I think about this time, okay, there's one, here's one that looks E-I-T-H-E something. That's probably pretty safely an R. Right? Fill those in. And now we're getting close here. Here's a two-letter word beginning with I with this sort of Z thing, so that's probably an N, and you know, that's the whole thing. This table service for to enter into the table of equation of the moan on either side. Whatever it is. It's Middle English. It's not English. It's concerned. Okay, so that's the decrypting a substitution cipher. You just use first step in decrypting a substitution cipher is you just use frequency counting. So a little terminology here, because we're going to keep on needing it. The original message is called the plain text, and the encrypted result is called the ciphertext. And the key, you know, is the correspondence between plain text letters and ciphertext letters. And these are easily cracked by frequency analysis, assuming there's enough text to work with. You know, obviously, a very short message, it wouldn't be possible to do that.